And it was a life about this man by the name of Brother Lawrence. Y'all familiar with Brother Lawrence? Anybody ever heard of Brother Lawrence? I hadn't got far enough into it to know what his whole name is, but Brother Lawrence, it's about a man who lived his life, and his whole thought or his whole process, his whole goal, I guess, maybe, was just to realize that he lives in the presence of God. Now, I know that doesn't sound too complicated. It doesn't sound like a big deal. Of course, we live in the presence of God. His eyes see all. There's nothing that happens that doesn't happen that God does not see. He's sovereign. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how that there is nothing that happens that is outside of God's sight. Amen. There is no place that we can hide from the very presence of God. So Bill and I were talking about it this past week, and I got a message. I told Bill I had a series. I'm going to preach a series, and I'm going to compare the whole thing to that of golf. And he kind of got a chuckle out of it, because one thing I've learned about golf, bear with me for a second, if you will, is that if you just the slightest little tweak in your mind thought, it just a little what we call, what us great golfers call swing thoughts. They call it swing thoughts. That when you get up behind a golf ball and you're getting ready to hit the ball, you have swing thoughts. And that is things that come to your mind right before you take that club back and hit it. And there's a whole lot, some people, there's a lot more that go through their mind than others. But just the most subtle thought, just the slightest little swing thought, they call it, can change that trajectory of that ball. Even though you might just be a degree off here, when it gets out there, you know, 250 yards, it's quite the difference. It makes quite a bit of difference in the trajectory, just a little swing thought. And so I'm just trying to put a little swing thought in your mind, in your life, is that we live carum Deo, that we as believers live in the very presence of God, that he is not a God that is way off there in the distance somewhere, but he is a God that is intimately acquainted with our griefs, with our sorrows, that he has, and the scripture teaches us that in like manner Christ has suffered, that he that was equal with God thought of himself not something to be grasped, that he laid aside his garments and he became like man, and he suffered as a man. That's a God that cares, isn't it? Amen. That's not a God that's out there and says, good luck to you. I've started the ball rolling, and it's up to you. Just kind of keep it going the rest of the way. Amen. I'm glad God's not like that. As a matter of fact, the scripture, it's so much not just a story about men's pursuit of God, even though it does give us some very pointed instruction for us to do that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But more than that, I would say it's what God has done to reach out to man. Amen? It's what God has done that we might once again have fellowship with him. As a matter of fact, more often than not in Scripture, men have hid themselves from the presence of God. Even from the very, very beginning there in the garden when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and it talks about how that they hid themselves from God. When the presence of God come and said, where art thou, Adam? And it says, we hid ourselves. Because why, Adam, did you hide yourself? Because we were uncovered. Because we didn't have a covering. Because there was nothing that was hiding us or covering us from your presence. Amen. But let me tell you something. Good news this morning is that we now have a covering. Amen. That we have a covering that we can come into the very presence of God. We don't have to hide ourselves because Jesus Christ paid the price. Amen. And gave us a covering. So as we read the story of the scriptures and we see what God has done to reveal himself unto man, that he has showed himself, that God has pursued. Amen. God has pursued. I think it's one of the prophets said it this way, that he'd woo them. Amen. When you think of wooing, you think of what someone does to show and demonstrate their love, and they reach out on behalf and do things and say, this is what I have for you. This is what I want to do for you. And the scripture has shown us over and over again how that God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Amen. Aren't you thankful God has a plan for us? Praise the Lord. I'm glad that I believe in a living God. But even beyond that, say, what is there something beyond that? Absolutely. there's more than just believing. There's more than just assent to a fact. When we talk about living our lives for God, you know, if you listen to a lot of preaching on the radio like I do, and you hear, you know, a lot of different ideas and thoughts, there's this thought out there where they called the carnal Christian. And that's just this. It's someone that has become, that believes, but yet it has in no way affected their life. It has in no way changed them. So, well, I believe, but their lives go on the same way. Now, I'm not up here to cast a better than now self-righteous attitude, but let me tell you something. When God touches your heart and life, He changes your life. There is a change that takes place. I heard a preacher preaching this week, and it was actually a question and answer session, and people were asking questions, and they asked that question. And he said, well, let me, you know, throw a few words out at you. Regeneration, new creation, born again. He says these words speak of themselves a change. And when you think about that, when we talk about regenerate, that's quite a process, isn't it? That God has moved in our life, and throughout Scripture we find over and over again where God reaches out to man. Amen. God spoke to Abraham, said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. Walk before me. Even as we look throughout the Old Testament Scripture over and over again, we can find men hiding themselves. There have always been those bright spots. There have always been those lights. There have always been those that God called out to. The Bible speaks about Noah, and it talks about his generation. And we're going to look at that a little farther here in a minute. But it says this about Noah. It said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No matter how wicked the generation, no matter how hard the time may be, no matter how far the hearts of people have been. Matter of fact, in one place there, I think it was David there in the book of Psalms that talked about looking out and seeing, is there anyone that seeks after God? Or is there anyone that sought the Lord? But there have always been those that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No matter how perverse things might get, no matter how crooked, amen, we can live godly and righteous in the midst of a perverse world, can't we? Amen, that God can touch our hearts and we can live above these things. I often got to remind myself of this over and over again, that we don't, as a matter of fact, I talk about Brother Lawrence there, one thing that he said, a statement that he made, and I it kind of took me back at first when I read it, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? That's great, That's a good message right there. And he said this. He said, I don't get myself too troubled and upset about the ungodly. I said, well, that doesn't sound, you know. He said, and it's because of this. It's because God is able to change them with just one touch. Amen. That God is able to take the most wretched sinner and just one reach out and touch in their heart, He's able to turn it toward Him. God's able to do that. I mean, He's able to reach out through His Spirit, is able to change lives. And let me tell you, God still does that. And you don't need me, you know that. You know He does. But yet here we find throughout the Scripture where God says, walk before me. It is our desire that we walk before God. That we realize every day that we live, that we are walking before God. There's one thing that when we talk about these bright spots, you know, we talk about, I think last week we read about the life of Moses, and how that he said, Father, if your spirit doesn't go with me, amen. This is how the world, others will know it's your presence, Father, that it's your presence that's with us. Lord, carry us not up hence, Lord, if you're not going to go. But as God, from the very beginning, from the time we find even the law given there in the book of Exodus, if you remember the very first law that was given, it was these words, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Amen. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no, that doesn't mean that if there's an order and that, you know, I'm going to be first and there's none going to be, you know, any other god would have to fall in line behind me. That's not what that means. It means not to have any other god before my face, Don't bring it into my presence. Don't bring it. Amen. You are in coram Deo. You are living in the presence of an almighty true God. And if there's one common denominator, I guess, when we talk about these bright spots throughout the history, is that those that believed God, we talk about the heroes of faith over in chapter 11 of Hebrews. That's a good place to start. Let's start there this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. That's a long way from the middle, isn't it? Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11. Familiar chapter to us this morning, but let's just start with verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then he says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. And it says this, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We start off the very first example given of faith. It says, it gives us a definition. This is what faith is. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Amen. Bill, Tommy, and I, the other night, we were listening to a guy on the YouTube, a sermon, or actually it was a debate between this guy by the name of John Lennox. He's a brilliant mind. I mean, when you listen to the guy, I just sat there and like, wow, that dude's got a memory. And then he's actually a scientist. He's a mathematician, but he's a believing scientist. And he was debating this guy that was a professor at this university. And during the debate, they were talking about faith. And he said, our faith is not a blind faith. Man, we're not just blindly following God and hoping in the end that things will turn out to our good. That's not what faith is. That's blind faith. And he gave the example. He said, I'll use that of the Washington Redskins. I'm a Redskins fan. And so I come to you and I say, the Washington Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl. Don't laugh, Stephen. The Washington Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And you're going to be okay. Why? Well, just because I just really hope it happens. I don't really care that much. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I hope I can give you some facts. I hope I can tell you they're going to win the Super Bowl because, you know, their quarterback is going to be hot this year. It's going to be his year. And we've got a real good tight end and our wide receiver, and our defense is tightening it up a little bit. And so I'm going to give you some facts of why my faith says that the Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl. Well, let me tell you what we have this morning in the Word of God. Some facts that have been laid out. This isn't things that somebody just threw together, some mythology of like some Greek god that they just put together and said, well, this is how the seas were created. This is how the earth was formed. This is where love came from and all the above. No, these are facts. These are established facts that have gone throughout time. Where John said, these things, there are many things that Jesus did while he was on this earth. Many other things that are not written in this book. But let me tell you, these things are written that you might believe. Come on. See, the Bible doesn't call us to have blind faith. It doesn't tell us just believe. Why? Just because I said so. But there is evidence. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How you know he's alive? Well, I haven't really seen him. Man, I haven't really laid eyes on him. But there was about 5,000 at once that did. I know there were several of his disciples he appeared to. There was many from the time of his resurrection to the time of his ascension. There were enough people in that day that saw him alive and testified, we have seen the risen Lord. See, that's not a fairy tale. These are people. This happened. And there was established facts, so much so that the church of Jesus Christ began to grow. And it began to grow. And here we are 2,000 plus years later, and the kingdom of God is still expanding. Amen. Facts. Not just blind faith. Amen. But here the writer tells us faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You and I may not have seen it with our eyes, the risen Savior. But I know I'm not the only one this morning that can testify. You've seen the Spirit of God working in the hearts and lives of individuals. Amen. That guy John Lennox said they were comparing faith in Christ to that of faith in a tooth fairy. And he says this. He said, I've not known a 45-year-old that come to faith in the tooth fairy and it changed their life. But I've seen it in the lives of men where people come to faith in Jesus Christ and the drunkard is no longer a drunkard. And the one that didn't care for his family and was a drug addict began to care for his family. He said, I've never seen faith in the tooth fairy produce this. But I've seen it in the lives of people. Amen. And how many could raise your hand to heaven and say, I'm testifying, I'm one of those lives that were changed. I mean, that God changed my life. That the Spirit of God shone in darkness and gave us a resurrected life this morning. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That the common factor in the lives of all these bright spots throughout church history, throughout the elders that the Apostle Paul writes of here, it says, and it's this, that they believed God. They simply believed God. And then he gives the example of Abel. And says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered up to God a more excellent, which means more in quality. Now, I don't really want to get into all that. I've read and heard a lot of different things why God accepted Abel's sacrifice and he didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. And one of it was because, you know, Abel offered up the sacrifice of blood and God demands the sacrifice of blood. And Cain had offered up the fruit of the ground. But you know what? There were sacrifices in Old Testament scripture of the fruit of the ground that they gave unto God, you know, different wave offerings and such. So I don't know. Let's just go with what Paul says. What he identifies as the distinction between Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice is that Abel did it by faith. Are we still with me? Let's don't add anything to that. It was mixed with faith. The sacrifice that he gave was mixed with faith, and by it, which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. But then it goes into another individual. And it's this man Enoch. And he's kind of my main thrust here this morning. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And this is a good time for Paul to put this in. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The story of Enoch. There's not a whole lot in scripture about this man by the name of Enoch. I'm sure we've all heard of him at one point. That basically it says that Enoch walked with God. It says that he had a child by the name of Methuselah. And after Methuselah was born, it says Enoch walked with God. Here in Hebrews, it says it this way. His life, he had this testimony that his life pleased the Lord. Amen. He had this testimony that his life pleased the Lord. Look over, if you will, if you want to put a place, a bookmark there in Hebrews 11, we may come back to there, but go all the way back to Genesis, chapter number 5. And this is where we'll find this man. Genesis chapter 5, I tell you, it's It's an interesting chapter in the sense that I've done this, and I actually started it again. I'm going to try to finish this thing. But I went through. It's actually the generations from the time of Adam all the way up to Noah and the flood. And you can lay it out. You can, you know, such Adam lived this long, and then he had a son, Seth, and Seth lived this long, and he had a son, and Enos was his name. If you look through it, then Enos had a son. His name was Canaan, and Canaan had a son, Mahalalel. Mahalalel had a son, Jared. Jared had a son, Enoch. Enoch had a son by the name of Methuselah. Methuselah had a son by the name of Lamech. Lamech had a son by the name of Noah. And from there on, we see that some from the time of Adam to the time of Enoch was seven generations that took place there. And I laid it out, and it was interesting to me. I guess I thought about it before, but when Enoch was born, Adam was 722 years old. He was still alive. Still walking the earth, 722 years old. And he lived another, what's 930 minus 722? All you mathematicians, somebody real quick. What was it? 208. 208 years that we have Enoch upon this earth walking with Adam. And I've got to believe they probably did some communicating. When you live to be 900 and what, 30 years old, you get to see your great, 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 so on. Grandson, that's just the way it goes. And so we have Enoch. It says, now one thing to see, there's a common thing that happened. If you read down through Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Verse 14, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. 17, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And then it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, here's the difference, and we're all familiar with this. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Walked with God. Living, coram Deo, living in the presence of God, walking before the Lord. Amen. No doubt, probably at some point talking to his great, 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 I'm probably not going to have greats, grandfather Adam. Adam maybe reminding him of what it was like there in the garden. Maybe what happened there when there was something that was put in the hearts of these men that had carried on from generation to generation. And when we get to Enoch, we're getting close to a time where we have Noah coming on the scene. A couple generations later, Noah is going to come on the scene. So when we think about the day that Enoch lived, if you just turn over one chapter, you can see there in Genesis chapter number 6, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet in his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was on evil continually. Now, we try to imagine just how bad things must have gotten, that God would repent that he had even made man. We try to think, well, there's no way things are that bad now. Do you know, realize how quickly men had fallen into this condition? I mean, here, you know, we're talking just a little over 1,000 years from the time of Adam to the time when Noah comes on the scene. That's nothing, comparatively speaking. And so when we think about Enoch walking with God, I've got to think there wasn't a whole lot of people just going around patting him on the back saying, Enoch, just keep walking with God. Buddy, you're doing a good job. Just keep serving the Lord. Just keep doing what you're doing. My point is this. Enoch walked with God in his generation in such a way that one day he was just walking. Now, I don't know how that happened. I often think about it. I heard a songwriter say, actually it was Ronnie Henson testifying one time and said, you know, Enoch got so close to God that God finally one day said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours. Won't you just come on in and spend the day with me? I don't know how it happened. But for some reason, God chose Enoch and pulled him out and said, he's not going to see death. And it was this testimony that he pleased the Lord. It says he walked with God and he was not because the Lord took him. And there was no body to mourn. There was no body to bury. How it happened, I don't know. There was another man like that. Elijah the prophet was taken up in a chariot of fire. But it just simply says about Enoch, it just says he was not because God took him. Just one day there, the next day gone. And really he didn't, you know, he wasn't that old. I think it was 365 days, right? Or 365 years old, which, yeah, it sounds old to us, but not when they're living, you know, 900 and plus years. And so here we find that Enoch just simply was taken, that the Lord took him. Now, remember what it said. It said, what did it say over in Hebrews about Enoch that just stood out so much? It said he pleased God. And that's where Paul puts there in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here from this, just this one verse, we can learn a few things about Enoch's life. It says he possessed faith. He believed, first off, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. That God desires, just as we said last week, God has sought us. God has reached toward man and made a way that we might have fellowship with him. But with all that said, God has called us to seek his face. Amen. To pour our hearts out to God in our generation. God, give us a heart to seek you. There are a lot of things that people go after. And, I had to actually just quit listening to the news this week. I just had to turn it off. I'm done with it. I don't want to hear it until, I won't even bring it up, but there's a lot of mess going on right now. And I just had to turn it off. I don't want to hear it. Tired of it. And so I went on a Facebook fast, created that myself. And I remember one time Marvin was preaching. He said, it's time to get our face off Facebook and get our face in the book. And so I said, okay, Lord, the time I'd spend on the Facebook, I'm going to put in your book. And so every time I thought, well, if I'm sitting around doing nothing, you know, I got into his word. I said, Lord, this is the book. Amen. This is the one that has the good news. Amen. This is the one that has the message that will bring forth life and bring forth fruit out of my life. And so I just had to turn it off this week. No more. No more news for a while, and get into the good news of Jesus Christ. Because when it comes right down to it, the world will seek after and go after many things. I was talking to a guy at work this week about this, and I said, but I'll tell you one thing. When we seek after God, when we go after God, and I'm not talking about just sitting around saying, well, if you're weird, just show yourself to me. Amen. No. As David said, as a deer pants for water. Father, you cannot exhaust the depth of God. You will not get to the end of it and just say, okay, that's it. No. He is ways above our ways, his thoughts above our thoughts, but God has shown himself to mankind. And in his precious word, you will not get to a point and say, well, this is not at all what I thought it would be. This is very disappointing. There's a lot of things that people are going out in the world, and when they get to where they think they want to be, they're going to find it empty. They're going to find it unsatisfying and does not bring forth peace in their life. But I'll tell you one thing. If we will go after God, if we will seek the Lord with all our heart, amen, he says, I will be found of those that will seek me. If you seek God, he won't hide himself from you. And he has revealed himself in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. And he loved us enough to die for us. Enoch knew that. He said, I believe that he is. And I believe that he is a rewarder of them. He walked with God. He sought after him. Diligently seek him. Those that crave him. Those that worship him. Amen. David told Solomon, his son, he said, if you'll seek God, he'll bless you. But if you turn your back on him, you're going to bring a curse into your life. That hasn't changed. I can stand up here this morning in complete confidence and tell you, if you will seek God, he'll bless your life. Amen. He'll bless your life. Now, how that blessing comes and defining it, I'm not able to do that. But I guarantee you one thing, you will not be disappointed if we will seek the face of God with our life. It says he walked with God. He pleased God. Amos says it this way. He says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed, unless they be heading in the same direction? Amen? When we have that fellowship with God, it does start with us changing our direction. That's why when we repent, that's what repentance is. It's a change of direction. You were walking this way. You repent and walk with God. Walk where he is. As David said, the Bible testifies of David being a man after God's own heart. It just simply means what God cared for, David cared for. What was important to God was important to David. Walk before me, he said, and be thou perfect. Another thing we find about Enoch, and we don't have to really imagine this because it tells us. Turn over to Jude. Little small book there right before the book of Revelation. We find this book of Jude. So go to the end of the Bible and come back just one. And that's where we'll find Jude. Jude is, it's not a very long book, obviously. It's just one chapter. But it starts off by talking about these people that, let's just look at a few quick verses. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then he says this, For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterward, destroyed them that believed not. Skip to verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Now skip to verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is deserved the blackness of darkness forever. I mean, those Jude just doesn't have a whole lot of place for these individuals. But listen to what he says. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So from this passage here, we can learn something about Enoch. Enoch, in the midst of a crooked generation, preached the truth of God's word. He was not ashamed. He was not afraid. So it wasn't just a matter of him and God just hanging out and spending quality time together, walking with the Lord. Enoch, his coram deo, living in the presence of God, it was important for him enough that he would open his mouth and begin to speak, and it says that he prophesied here. So here we have Enoch, the man that walked with God, that pleased the Lord. We have him prophesying or giving forth a word, and no doubt in his generation, as he began to give these words about the judgment of God coming with how many of it? With 10,000 of his saints. He wasn't far removed from that of the flood when the judgment of God did come. And God flooded the earth, prepared an ark for Noah and his family for the saving of their soul. Enoch preached the truth. God give us boldness in our day. As we live before the presence of God, as we live coram deo, as we live as the children of God in our day, give us boldness to stand, Lord. Give us the words to speak. Lord, let your spirit speak to our hearts through us. Lord, use us as vessels of honor in our day. To know his word. To be ready, as the writer said, to give an answer when asked of the hope that dwelleth in you. Amen. It's Jesus. He's the one that changes lives. We believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But also, like Enoch, we also believe that God judges those who do not. He says he's coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch's day probably didn't have to look far to see an ungodly person. Man had fallen so far so quickly, as is often the case. But yet he had this testimony. He walked with God. His life pleased the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad to know this morning that we also can have that testimony through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. That when we surrender our hearts to God and we say, Lord, I want to live in your presence, God. We're so thankful that you came. God with us, Emmanuel. Lord, that we can live every day knowing that we're in your presence, Lord God. And that it is our desire, just as you sought us, you said in your word, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. He hears. He's not way off there in the distance. He's not unreachable. I tell the guy at work, he gives me a hard time. I haven't told him it was from a song, but I always talk about the Holy Ghost hotline. So he says he's going to write a song called the Holy Ghost Hotline. And I haven't broken to him. I didn't make that up. I heard it on a song years ago, the Holy Ghost Hotline. Aren't you thankful we have the Holy Ghost Hotline? Even that we have the Spirit of God that we can call on the name of the Lord and that he hears our prayer. Amen. Direct line between us and heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous. Let's live coram deo. Let's live before the presence of God. Realizing that, Lord, let our lives please you. Amen. Stir our hearts, God, to action in our day. That we can affect our next generation and the next generation and the next generation. and that we can tell our children, as Adam no doubt told Enoch, here's what it's like to walk with God in the cool of the day. Here's what it's like, amen, to live your life. Here's how God has blessed our lives. We have many people here who have been serving the Lord a long time, and we can tell the next generation. It's how God bless you. Amen. He's a great God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for Lord, bright lights, for great examples that we have in Scripture of men and women, Lord, that live their lives, coram Deo, that live their lives in your presence. Not just caught up with all things around them and the people around them, God, but their lives pleased you. That is our desire this morning, Father, that our lives would please you. And Father, that we too could be a shining light to our day, to our young people, and to all those whose lives our life touches. We're so thankful, God, that you came near to us, that you reached out, you drew us, Lord, by your Spirit. And we are your children. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet this morning as we worship the Lord here together.